Welcome to Beach Corner Church's Sunday morning service.
Well, this morning I was led to talk about God's love for us and his patience for us. And that's not entirely what the section of scripture that we're looking at today is necessarily about. Because today the section of scripture that we're looking at is looking at Israel's rejection of Messiah. And that essentially they have no excuse. But the section of scripture that we're looking at ends with Romans 10:21. And this is what Paul says in that section, in that verse. All the day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. And in that sentence, Paul is closing off this whole idea that Israel has been stubborn, Israel has been disobedient, they've literally wanted their own way and they have not turned to God's way. And when we close off this section of scripture, that's heavily weighted as a truth and a reality of who Israel was and what they were doing. They were disobedient. They were stubborn. But what what screamed out at me from that section of scripture is, all the day long, God has stretched out his hands to this people. That God is so patient and so loving towards his people. But not just his people, God is so patient and so loving towards all of humanity. God's love was exemplified to us by the fact that all the day long, every moment of our day, every minute, he is stretching out his hands of love towards humanity, towards us. It's like a loving father waiting to catch a child who is leaping into those hands of love. In his arms of love, when I was preparing this message, I told the worship team and those that we were praying with this morning that I was thinking of this message, that song, Arms of Love, came to mind. Does anyone remember that song, Arms of Love? It goes, in the arms of love, in the arms of love, holding me still, holding me near, in the arms of love. That was just resonating with me in this section of scripture. That God is so loving and so kind to us. And that's not often what we hear in the world. God is this brutal dictator. One that giant bearded white-robed man up in heaven that has his enormous word of God in his hand and he's just waiting to thump anybody from the clouds, whoever disobeys him. Yet he's loving and he's kind and he's patient. 2 Peter 3:9 says, he is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Do we know this? That he's patient with us? Are you here this morning and you maybe have never experienced the love of God, or you have, but you haven't responded to it? Do you know that God loves you? Do we know it as believers? Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that. That he is so loving to us. That church, beloved church, your God is for you, not against you. Even though there may be storms that come in our lives, and believe me, there have been storms that have been coming in the world today. Hurricane after hurricane after hurricane. And that's horrible. It's horrible for these people to have to experience the things that they're experiencing in Florida and then the Bahamas and Dominica and all these different places. But God still loves those people, and he's still reaching out to them with his arms of love, wanting them to hear the gospel, and showing it by people actually going there and being the hands and feet of Jesus. But these storms will sometimes come into our lives, not as hurricanes, but they feel like it, storms of life that come in. But God is for you, not against you. He loves you. And in troubled times, and we know we're in troubled times, some days you look at the news and it looks really bleak, especially the last week. Wars and rumors of wars, storms. But God is in the midst of this. God has a plan. And a part of that plan is these outstretched arms and hands of love towards us, towards humanity. And today we're looking at a section of Scripture where God is showing that he is patient and loving to Israel. Essentially, Paul is closing off his discussion about Israel's rejection, but he's pointing out that while they're disobedient, his hands of love are towards them. Those fatherly hands waiting for them to leap into his arms so that he can embrace them and accept them. And Romans 12:21 is specifically about the nation of Israel being disobedient, because we know there are individual Jews that believed, and that the church is made up of both Jews and non-Jews, believing Jews and non-Jews. But nationally, Israel rejected Messiah. And Paul addresses the righteousness of God in relationship to Israel. He's addressing this whole rejection, but as he does, he's also making it universal. Because we can relate to being stubborn, can't we? We can relate to being a little bit disobedient at times. Definitely as non-believers, we're absolutely stubborn and obstinate. We don't want to have anything to do with God, and yet he's there with his hands stretched out in love. But even as believers, sometimes we can be stubborn and obstinate, and yet still his hands of love are stretched out. And God made it clear to Israel, and we're going to see this, that he was telling them about his love. He was letting them know that he loves them, and he was doing it in all the ways they expected that he should. But God's people rejected that offer. The nation of Israel rejected him, his offer of righteousness. And this is what we're looking at today. We're looking at how faith comes from hearing. People need to hear about God's outstretched hands of love. And in order for people to hear it, it means that someone needs to be speaking it. And I want to challenge us, beloved church, that God's people, the very ones who've experienced those hands of love, need to be willing to speak of those hands of love, need to be able to share that. At whatever level of maturity you're at, we can speak about the love of God that we've experienced ourselves, can't we? It's a little intimidating sometimes, maybe, to be able to open up our mouths and actually speak about the gospel. But you know what? God has promised to give us all that we need whenever he's called us to step into a situation where he's working and he's saying, now I'd like you to share. I would like you to open up your mouth and speak about the gospel. God will give us everything we need. So faith comes from hearing, which means someone needs to be speaking, so that the end result is people are given opportunity for receiving that love of God and believing in him. We have to respond. We have to hear a message. It has to be spoken, and there needs to be a response. And we can either receive God's love And his gift, his gracious gift of his son, who paid the penalty for our sin, or we can reject it. And that's what Paul is wrestling with right now in chapters 9, 10, and 11. He's dealing with, look, God is not done with Israel yet. And we're not done talking about Israel yet because we're only in chapter 10. But he's talking about how Israel rejects the Messiah and how we can also apply that to our lives as well. Because we all need to hear. There needs to be someone that speaks the truth into our lives. And we have an opportunity to receive it or to reject it. So let's turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 14, and we're also going to look at verse 17. Paul says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? Verse 17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? There's Paul's sarcasm coming on. Surely Israel hasn't heard, have they? Indeed, they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Hearing. People need to hear about God's outstretched arms or hands of love. Because faith comes from hearing, and what people need to hear is the word of Christ. That is what Christ did, that he is God, that he did die on the cross as a penalty for humanity's sins, and that he does have the power to give us eternal life and to overcome the power of sin and death in our life because he rose from the dead. He defeated death. He is God, and he has the authority to do that. That's the word of Christ. That's the word of faith that people need to hear. There needs to be hearing. Because how can they call upon anyone if they have not heard? How can they call, Paul, if they have not heard? And Paul is dealing with a truth about Israel while he's also dealing about a truth for all of humanity. How can all of humanity or the nation of Israel call on anyone they have never heard of before? You know, I miss rotary phones very much. For those of you who do not know what rotary phones are, I like the ones that hang on the wall and look like tanks, but they were normally this black box about this big, and they had what you call a receiver, like a handheld receiver you hold to your ear and your mouth. It kind of looks like cell phones today, except a little bit more also like a banana. And in the middle of this rotary phone, there was this circle and numbers. And you could put your finger in this little device that had holes in it at a number, and you could crank it around, and it would click, 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 click back, and that was the number that you put into the phone to call. So imagine you're going 9, click, 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 6, click, 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 3, click, click, 2, you know, that kind of thing, right? Why do I miss that? It's because, at least until it happened, there was no answering machine. There was just the phone, right? There was no caller ID. There was just the phone. There was no voicemail. It was just the phone. There was no means of texting or Facebooking or messaging or Instagramming, and don't get me started about Snapchatting, okay? It was just a very loud ring in the house and someone was calling, and you knew. And what you had to do is actually go to the phone and find out who was calling, because you never knew. It was always a mystery. It was almost like a game. Those of you who have never experienced that before. But you had to answer the phone so you knew who was calling. And what would happen is, if you're in the middle of dinner, well, you answer the phone, oh, sorry, we're in the middle of dinner, I'll call you back. And nowadays, it's like, I get mixed up. And this is a confession as your pastor, so forgive me, because I might have done it to any one of you here. But if you text me today, I might open up your text and then forget I've opened it. And then put my phone in my pocket, and then weeks later, oh, I opened that text weeks ago. So I don't respond. I don't call upon the person who has sent me a message because I heard, but I've forgotten. When I receive a phone call on that rotary phone, I get the call, I hear the message, I hang it up, and I go and I call upon the one who called me. I heard, and I responded. How is Israel and how is anyone in humanity supposed to call upon the one they have not heard of before? How? And yet Paul's saying, oh, you sneaky guys, I know you're going to ask, how can we call if we have not heard? He says, oh, indeed you have heard, Israel. You have heard. Well, how can they believe if they haven't heard about the one that they believe? Oh, Israel, you have indeed heard about Jesus Christ because he was in your midst. We'll look a little bit more at what I'm talking about because Paul does say, hey, Israel, don't whine to me about this. Don't complain that you have not heard because indeed you have. In fact, you heard long before Christ even came. But he knows that the Jewish people are going to say, how? How then can we call and believe upon the one we have not heard? And indeed they have. And in fact, Paul says, you have to hear because the only way that we can believe in anything is if we hear the message. And Paul states that. He says, faith comes from hearing about God's outstretched arms and hands of love. Faith comes from hearing the message because then that stirs up the belief in us that he is true. And then we put our faith in him. And the only way we can have faith is if we hear about Christ. If Israel hears about Christ, which they absolutely did, they got the message, they got it loud and clear. And it's interesting because I'm planning this message this week, and on Monday I have a conversation with someone about, what about those who don't hear? What about those who have not heard? Well, one, that shows the urgency and the vital importance for us who have received the truth to share the truth. Because if there's anyone out there who has not heard the word of Christ, and that it is faith in Christ, that you are, it's through faith in Christ that you are saved. If they have not heard it, then doesn't that show how important it is for us to be the hands and feet of God's stretched out hands of love? Amen? There's an urgency, church, even in our day, for people to hear that. We know that because when we're the only ones that become saved in our family, there's an urgency. Because all of a sudden, everybody around us that we love dearly and desperately is lost and don't know. Yet indeed, our culture, North America, Canada, has heard the message loud and clear. But what about those who have not heard? Right? And we learned about this in Romans chapter 1. Because in Romans chapter 1, it says people are without excuse. Because Romans chapter 1, verses 19 to 20, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Everybody has the opportunity to know about God Because all of humanity, we learned early on in the book of Romans, is given the general revelation about God. And if humanity, which is out of what we really do, but if we happen to desire in any way, shape, or form, or go towards that little bit of light, God will open it wide to us, no matter where we are in the world. And the way we can know that is you hear over and over again of testimonies of Muslim people growing up in Muslim families only knowing about Islam and strictly Islam alone, not hearing of any gospel message, but they are earnestly seeking after a creator. They are earnestly seeking after not creation, but God himself. And God is revealing himself to them. And there's testimony after testimony of people, Muslim people who have never seen a Bible in their lives, having visions of a Jesus coming to them and saying, "You must seek after me. You must find me." And I remember one testimony of a Muslim gentleman who actually stumbled across a Bible after that fact. And that Muslim gentleman then started reading the Gospels and was so enraged by the Gospels, he threw the Bible across the room. And I might have said this before, because when he opened up the Gospels, it was clear that Jesus was saying, "He is God." And Islam does not believe that Jesus is God. He is a prophet. So that enraged this gentleman. Yet he earnestly sought after the Creator. And as he earnestly sought after the Creator, God was revealing the Word of Christ to him. Because he was seeking a little bit of light that was given in his life, and God was opening him up to more light of who he truly is. And he does that even to the most remotest tribes in the world. And we don't know those tribes' relationships with God going way back in history. God may be dealing with those tribes to wait. Because right now, what's he doing with Israel? Is he disciplining Israel right now? Because of the rejection? That's what God's doing right now. God is disciplining the nation of Israel because of their rejection of the Messiah. And they've been doing that. He's been doing that for almost 2,000 years. So there may be a lost tribe out there that God is disciplining them because of their choice for the generation after generation of that tribe to continually worship creation and not a creator. As he gives a little bit of light to them, they don't embrace it, they worship creation. But eventually a missionary comes, and maybe that missionary loses their life, but as a result, family members come into that tribe and share the gospel and share the message of Christ, and they hear and they are saved because they've heard the message of Christ. Faith comes from hearing that message, and that's the message that Israel was receiving, but they weren't taking it. There's a real need for people to hear about God's love, because faith comes from hearing about God's love, and that means someone must be speaking. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15 say this, right at the end of verse 14, "And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? For just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things." There needs to be a preacher. Because how will they hear if there is no preacher? Now, that word preacher in Greek does not mean me. Okay? Not the standard pastor that stands up at the pulpit and goes out and preaches. That's not what the word initially means. What it means is one who is a herald. If you're herald and you're here today, it's not you. It's a herald, one that announces, one that proclaims. How will they hear if there's no one to proclaim it? We need to be proclaimers. You know? Well, I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more just to be that man who walks 1,000 miles to share about my Lord. Amen? We need to be proclaimers. Amen. See, we're the ones that have experienced that love of Christ. We're the ones who have firsthand leapt into those outstretched hands and experienced God catching us and saving us. So we're the ones that got to go out. We got to be the heralds. I remember talking to youth one time and saying, we're live action billboards for God. We get to advertise God every day of our lives. We need to be those proclaimers sharing about God's love, his outstretched hands of love to the world. And we need to go. Sometimes that means going nowhere other than home. Or again, to the workplace, school. It's just wherever we're at, work. It's in those places that we can be that love of God by speaking it into people's lives. But sometimes people need to be sent. And that's a lesson I'm learning about as a pastor shepherd, because we don't always like to be sent. It's not easy to have someone come into your life and say, you know what? I see that perhaps God is working in this way, and I think you might want to go in this direction. Because what if at the time we're not ready to go in that direction? It's tough. But one thing that you need to know, for me as a pastor, a shepherd, I know that some of us need to be encouraged to go. Some people need to be sent. Because there's some people here that will become missionaries in our church. Some already have. Some have already gone to Peru and stayed in Peru and done work there for longer than just a couple of weeks. And we've sent them. So in order for there to be proclaimers out in the world, there needs to be a church that is sending them. And we as a church want to do that. Whether it's we're sending you just to your home, or the workplace, or to your neighbor's house, or whether you have the call on your life from God that you're going to go to Africa, or Ethiopia, or Russia, or Lithuania, or wherever God is calling you in the world to go. We need to send. We need to go, and we need to be sent. And a couple weeks ago, I talked about how we want to aspire to do God's will in our lives. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about desiring God's call because we're gifted to do his work. May God give you an aspiration in your heart, and maybe already has, to walk in the calling of that he's placed on your life and do it knowing that you have gifts to do it. Because we bring good news, church. We bring absolutely good news. We get to bring people the message that there's a gift from God, and it's his grace to give us his righteousness and not us trying to work for our own. God is graciously offering his righteousness that he's graciously offering if we will accept and believe in him. He will clothe us in his righteousness. He will clothe us in purity and holiness. And then he will even make us holy because he will be sanctifying us. He will work in us through the power of the Holy Spirit to make us holy as he is holy, because he's clothed us in his holiness and his righteousness. That's good news. We get to be the bringers of good news. Amen? Amen. Woo, that gets me excited. That's why I love preaching on Sundays, is because I just get to talk about the good news all the time. How beautiful is it when we go out and share God's outstretched hands of love? The message that we will not be disappointed by him. Are you disappointed, church, by him? No, no way. We will not be disappointed. We will be saved if we believe in him. We will be given the right even to be called children of God. We'll be adopted into his family as if we're full and complete children of his. That is good news that we get to share. That's what we get to do if we are those proclaimers. And we need to proclaim more than ever before. We need to be sent and we need to proclaim. And why do I say that? Because it is evident every day, in fact, that Christ is at the door and he's waiting for the Father to say, go get your church. He is at the door. In the book of Luke and in the book of Matthew, it talks about how there will be signs of things that will happen on the earth. And when those things start to take place, then you will know he is at the door. And church, Christ is at the door. It's just a moment away from him returning. That's why the time is urgent. That is why we need to be proclaimers right now. And not the way that Pastor Chris wants you to be a proclaimer. It's the way that God's called you to be a proclaimer. And again, I want to remind you, you may be on the bench right now in the church. And that's okay. But if God is saying to you right now, go, I'm sending you. Go, come on. Then go. Because he'll give you everything that you need to do what he's asking you to do. Because now more than ever, we have to proclaim that good news to people. And Israel heard that good news right in their midst. He was right there. And yet they rejected him. Because hearing, faith comes from hearing. And the only way that we can hear things if people are speaking, but then there needs to be a response at the end to that. If someone's going to speak the message of God's love to us, we have an opportunity to respond. And we can either receive it or we can reject it. And that's where Paul is ending in this section of Scripture. He talks about Israel's response. Romans chapter 10, verse 16 says, however, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? But I say, surely Israel did not know, did they? Well, first Moses says, I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. By a nation without understanding, I will anger you. And Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. But as for Israel, he says, all the day long, I have stretched out my hands to you, to a disobedient and obstinate people. People need to hear so that they have the opportunity to receive the message or reject it. And not everybody's going to receive what God's people have to say. People don't heed good news, especially in our world today. And that's, by the way, church, another sign of the drawing near to Christ's return. Isaiah talks about how righteousness will become evil and evil will become righteousness in the last days. And it seems like we're living in a generation that doesn't want to heed good news, even though we have it. But people are receiving Christ today. There have been a number of people that have received Christ here in our church just within the last year. God is still working because God has a plan. In fact, his word says that the end will not come until the fullness of all the non-Jewish people comes. And in his word, what that means is until the very last Gentile that will ever come to Christ comes, the plan is still, I'm patient, I'm waiting, and there's still people that are going to come to me. Because there's going to be a day where finally that last Gentile will come, and then God will say to the Son, go get the church, and then the end will happen. The end will take place. People don't always heed the good news, and people don't believe what we have to say. And this can cause fear in our hearts. It causes us not to want to open our mouths. Because I don't know if any one of you have ever had this experience, but you get excited about that love of God and you want to share it with someone, and you go and you talk to someone about it, and it's like you feel like you failed horribly. Oh man, I was tripping over words. Oh, it looked like they were ready to slap me across the face. It was the most horrible experience of my life. And fear overcomes us. It's like, I'm never gonna do that again, Lord. Don't ever ask me to do that again. Now, let me remind you, church, that you do not have to be afraid if someone does not receive the message. Because you may have a ministry where God calls you. And ministry, I mean just you being obedient whenever God invites you to speak his love to someone's life. You may have a whole experience, your whole life, of being rejected every time you share the gospel. Every time. But that does not mean it is not effective. Because we're throwing out seeds. We're putting seeds out there that God will come along and he'll water. And he'll bring the next brother or sister in Christ to come into their life and to speak into their life. And they'll be watering. And eventually, they'll catch. That person will recognize that Christ is God and is their Savior. And they'll receive him as Lord. But you don't have to be afraid if you experience rejection. Because we have not been given a spirit of fear. We've been given a spirit of power. Power to stand in those frightening times and to speak about his love. And not only that, we've been given a spirit of love. And sometimes it isn't going to be the words at first. It's going to be a gentleness and kindness that takes place where we care for someone and we speak into their lives by our actions, and then God opens up the door to use our words. But there's power there because we've been given a spirit of power, and there is love there because we've been given a spirit of love, and we've been given the spirit of self-discipline, where God is enabling us to be disciplined to know his truth. And you may not know all of it right now, but what you do know is enough for God to use you to speak into someone's life when he's calling you to. Because he will give you what you need. He's given us that spirit of love, of power, and a sound mind, and we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid to be speakers, proclaimers, to share that truth. Even though the world may reject that truth, as Israel did. For God is... Oh yeah, I already said that. I'm not going to quote it again. The world is without excuse, and so is Israel. Isaiah was spoken of from Paul, and all of the prophets spoke to Israel. All of them told of what was to come. You know what? Messiah will come. Isaiah 53 is all about what Messiah would do before he establishes his kingdom. He will come as the suffering servant. He will come and pay the penalty for our sin before he establishes his kingdom. And Paul is saying, guys, you're without excuse because Isaiah spoke of it. Moses talked about it. The law exemplified it. And even Christ himself, God himself, came down. And what's interesting is the nation of Israel killed the prophets, all the way up to John the Baptist, all the way up to killing Jesus himself. They rejected him as Messiah. Even though all this time, God had his hand stretched out towards this people. He is so loving to us, church. He so loves the world that he willingly sacrificed his son. And he so loves the world that every moment of every day, he's got those arms out, waiting for us like children to leap into those hands so that he can embrace us and set us free. And people need to hear it. People need to hear about God's outstretched hands of love. That means that there needs to be God's people speaking about it, speaking about those outstretched hands of love. And that will give people opportunity to receive that message or reject it. It reminds me as I close, I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. Again, I go back to the impact that that verse had for me. Someone said to me the other day that I'm talking a lot about God's love, and they really like that. And for me, it's like, well, he does love us. That's his whole word exemplifies that. The whole point of him stretching out his hands of love towards us is because he knows that if we don't put our faith in him, he knows what humanity's destination is if they don't receive him. For anyone who does not receive Christ as Lord and Savior, what they've done is they've initially said, I reject you completely, God. I reject everything you have to offer. I don't ever want to be with you. I want to be God myself. And if that's the case, then their eternal destination is exactly what they asked of God on this side of eternity. Because if you're a person who says, God, I want to have nothing to do with you, I know today's another day where I've heard about your love, how you're stretching out your hands to me and hoping I will jump into those hands and accept you, but I don't want to have anything to do with it, then God is just giving you what you want. If you don't want me here, you don't have to have me for eternity. And you can have hell. And that's what hell is. Not only is it the lake of fire that God talks about in his word, but more dramatically and intensely is the fact that the God of love, the God of peace, the God of hope, the God of gentleness and kindness, who is gracious and merciful, who is abounding in life, eternal life, you can't have any part of. You'll have the complete opposite. No hope, no love, no peace, just torment for eternity. That's why God's love, hands of love are outstretched towards us, because he doesn't want us to go in that direction. That's why he is patient with us, not wanting any to perish, but all would come to him. And I think one of the perfect pictures of that is of the prodigal son. Because God's not forcing his way into our lives, church, or into your loved ones or your friends' lives as you want to speak to them about his love. He's like that prodigal son father who isn't waiting for the son to come to the door and walk in the house and say, I'm home, in hopes that someone will come to the door. No, God is a loving father who every day is going to the door and looking out to see if today is the day that they're coming home. And the day that they do, that father, that loving father, is seeing them from a distance and running to them. That's God's love. That's his hands of love outstretched towards us. Amen?
Amen.
And we have an opportunity to share that. And today you may even be told this for another time in your life, and today you might be wondering, do I need to receive that or reject that? And I hope that you receive that today. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you that your hands are stretched out every moment of the day for us. Lord, I pray that we would be the church that lives in the power of the Holy Spirit and is bold enough to speak that word of love in times when you call us to. Help us to, Lord, in any way that you're asking us and inviting us to be a part of doing that. Help us to do that. Help us to be proclaimers. And help those that are in our church that maybe are wrestling with, do I receive or do I reject? I pray, Lord, that you would open up their eyes to the love of God, that they might receive you and believe in you. And I just commit that to you today in Jesus' name. And I thank you for what you're going to do. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Beach Corner Church. May it be an encouragement for you to passionately follow Christ. God bless.